Jacob.
Hold on, we're not to Jacob yet. We're not. I haven't introduced Jacob yet.
But now can't he's gonna hang to up. You just said welcome. Hey, baby. Hey, it's 10:30.
Listen, baby.
I bet they don't do that on KMOV.
Well, they can't because they would all be far.
Yeah, I heard TV people are uptight.
Yeah. Oh my God, they're so uptight. Jacob Sersosimo, sports reporter, KMOV, Matrix Midwest. Jacob, you're not uptight, are you?
No, I'm not uptight. You don't need to worry about me being uptight.
Have you ever, can you start tonight's sportscast with,
hey baby,
the Blues played Carolina.
How you doing, girl?
I'm not sure I can do that, but I'm not very uptight.
Are you tired? You sound tired. Did you just get in from out of town?
No, I was. Yes, I was. Actually, your producer texted me, and I was like, I'm flying in from California late last night. And I was like, if I get in, I'll be on the show in the morning. If I'm mid-air tomorrow morning, I can't do it. So, no, I'm good. I'm good to go. I got to work tonight.
Well, Jacob, I just do want to give you some credit because you didn't just go to California. Didn't you run an ultramarathon while you were there?
I did. That was kind of the whole purpose of the trip. I did. I ran a 50-miler in San Diego.
Nice. How did it go? Was it road or trail?
It was trail. It was in the San Pascual Valley. Mm-hmm. Lucky I don't live there because I can hardly pronounce it. It was mostly like dirt trail, and then it had 4,000 feet of vert ascent pretty much up and down. And it was hard. It was hot. Yeah. There was not a cloud in the sky. And you see what the temperature is in San Diego or in St. Louis right now. And there was like 70 degrees, no clouds. Barely any wind. So that was hard. The heat was a battle. The whole thing was really, really hard, but we finished. That's all that really matters.
Well, congratulations. No small task. Congratulations. And thank you. Thank you for joining us.
No worries. This is good. It's good to be back in St. Louis. It's good to back talk sports.
Jacob, it's good to have you back. And I know that, with us being 10 years removed from the Rams being in St. Louis, and that officially happened yesterday, 10 years ago, that vote came down. There's a lot that's gone on in the league, and now you've got a pretty exciting playoff. We were just talking about the quarterbacks who were not featured in it. There is no Mahomes. There's no Joe Burrow. Aaron Rodgers is out now. Jalen Hurts is out. But this has still been a pretty good playoff, don't you think?
I hate to say it, but what a breath of fresh air for football fans. You both Super Bowl teams that were in it last year, out. Eagles out, Chiefs out. And I know there might be some Chiefs fans listening. It just wasn't the year it was supposed to be for the Chiefs, but you've been spoiled for almost a decade at this point. It's been a breath of fresh air. And what I really like about it is the NFL kind of prides itself on parity. And that's why I think a lot of people like the NFL so much, is because you never really know what's going to happen. Well, the last few years, you've kind of known what's going to happen just because the Chiefs have been so dominant. The Eagles have been so good. And it was kind of like when the Patriots were in their dynasty run. It's like, yeah, well, you know, Tom Brady and the Patriots and Bill Belichick, they'll figure it out at some point. Well, this year, you really don't know. Starting the playoffs, you're looking at who's in the playoffs. The Seahawks get a one seed and the Broncos get a one seed. If you would have put this playoff bracket together at the beginning of the year and gave it to fans, they would have been like, you're nuts. There's no way this is how this whole thing ends up. Well, that's why you play the game, and that's where we're at. I'm really intrigued by it, and I think it's going to be exciting to watch throughout the rest of the playoffs until the Super Bowl. But that's what I really like about it, is you just really don't know who's going to be good. I mean, the Niners beating the Eagles in Philly, did anybody really see that happening? And then you got other teams that are very impressive, like the Panthers. Like, the Panthers almost beating the Rams, mm-hmm. and the Rams got the potential MVP on their team. I think this is kind of what the NFL prides itself in, and we're starting to get it again in the NFL. Who knows what the Chiefs do moving forward, but even with what we have right now and moving forward in the playoffs, I'm excited for some new teams and some young teams and some new coaches and some, you know, new quarterbacks to be in this hunt, and they are.
Well, moving to a league where St. Louis does have a team, the Blues play tonight. They host the Carolina Hurricanes, their first home game back after a three-game road trip where they were able to notch 0 points. So not great. They did sign Philip Broberg, their young defenseman, to a 6-year extension, and then he promptly was knocked out of the game by Mark Stone in the Vegas Golden Knights game. So with the Blues, their game tonight, any update on Broberg, and what do you expect this week from the Blues? They've got a couple of home games.
They need to bounce back, and I think what the Blues have struggled with, I mean, this isn't just this year, but the consistency and, like, stacking wins. Every time they, like, start to sniff a wild card spot or getting closer, then something doesn't go right. Like, they lose three straight and whatever the case may be. So Broberg, I believe, is day-to-day, concussion protocol or something along those lines. And that hurts a lot because not only has Justin Falk been good on their back end as far as the offensive part of it, Philip Broberg has been good at literally everything all season, and he's been very, very impressive for this team. And you might go as far as to say that Philip Broberg has been a big reason why they continue to stay in the hunt for the playoffs, just because of how solid he's been night in and night out for this team. And you need an example of that? Well, they just signed him midseason to a 6-year, $8 million a year contract. So the Blues obviously think he's doing something really right for their team, not only right now, but since he's been in St. Louis. But from the eye test and watching him night to night, he's doing that for the Blues. And so not having him right now does really hurt. But there's bigger problems with this team right now, and it's the consistency of stacking wins. And whether you think they're going to make the playoffs or make a push for it or not, this team just needs to find the consistency in their play, and that is where their struggle is right now. And so coming back home, coming back to play tonight versus Carolina, there just needs to be just a more consistent – and this isn't even me, like, analyzing it. This is what they continue to say after practices, after games, like the consistent effort, the consistent urgency, the consistent, like, will to win. And they've been looking for it all season, and they have yet to find it. Now, last year you saw with this team, when it got down to crunch time, they found it. Well, they're kind of getting down to crunch time now as we go into the Olympic break and then after the Olympic break as well. So we're in 2026. Will they find that again? That's the big question. But if you look at the standings, it's like a log jam getting up until the top wild card spot. So even if they play really well, they're going to need some help elsewhere if they want to make that playoff.
A little less than 2 months away from the trade deadline happening. It's early March, and they may not know exactly what it is they want to do at this point. That could change over the next several weeks. But, you know, if that deadline was tomorrow, you know, what do you think they're looking at doing, if anything?
Last year, I would have been really surprised if they made a move, and they really didn't make a move. I think some people thought when Parayko went down last year, after the Four Nations break, there might be something, and there wasn't. This year, I'm really not surprised either way. If Doug Armstrong comes in and kind of cleans house a little bit, and by cleans house, I mean just trade like two or three of their like important guys, I wouldn't be surprised. If he doesn't move anybody at all because he thinks this team can do it, and that's kind of Alexander Steen taking over this group moving forward, I also wouldn't be surprised if that happens. The interesting part for me will be to watch what happens with Justin Falk. Now, I'm not sitting here telling you that I'm like hearing rumors that Falk is gone. It's just Falk has had such a really good season, and when you're out of the playoff picture a little bit, there's going to be teams out there that are going to want an offensive defenseman that can score, and Justin Falk can score this year, and he's playing really well. And on the flip side of that, him scoring this year, that means his price is going up a little bit, and Army and the Blues can get something in return. So I'm really interested to see what happens with Justin Falk, and then I'm interested to see how Doug Armstrong and Alexander Steen address this young core and what they do with maybe some of the older guys in front of them, because as these guys get back from injury, they have a really good problem at their hands. They have, you know, Bukestad and some of these guys that are coming back from injury. Walker came back a little bit ago, and these are your everyday guys. But also you called up Otto Stenberg, who's played pretty well, and Dalibor Dvorsky, who's played pretty well, and now you're getting a glimpse into the future of this organization and how big of a leash do you give those guys. And that's usually what we're talking about when we're talking about the Cardinals, but we're kind of talking about that with the Blues right now too. So they're in such an odd situation there and such a good problem in my eyes, where you have veterans that know how to play and are everyday NHL guys, but you also have guys that are pushing to make that starting lineup every single night that are young and hungry, and you drafted high for a reason. So I'm really interested I mean, we're going to learn a lot about what they think that vision of the long term is. I think what they do at this trade deadline, but as far as who it will be, mm-hmm. it's interesting because there's so many no move clauses in hockey, which is odd.
Well, and I know before we move on, that was one of my questions for you. Do you think the Blues are at a point that you might have someone like a Jordan Kyrou, Robert Thomas, or Pavel Buchnevich, all of whom full no trade clauses locked in until the end of the 29-30 season? Do you think there's a chance that any of them waive those clauses just for a fresh start?
I think so. I think it has to be for the right fit. And I think it has to be for a right fit for the future, because you mentioned those contracts are longer than just next year. So are they going to go to a contender this year? If they waive, you know, their no trade clause, I think they're going to want to be at an organization that is going to make a push for the next 4 or 5 years. You know, like, they're not just going to want to go somewhere they're in their window right now and then they're gone. If we're talking football terms, you're talking like, you're going to want to go to a team like the Chiefs or the Bills that are in their window right now, other than maybe teams that just go all in on 1 year. And, you know, like the Ravens who are kind of, you know, a sinking ship, where it's like, oh, you might be able to win it 1 year. So I think they're going to need to do something like that if they're going to move those guys. But I think if those guys are open right now is the best time they're going to be open to moving.
Talking about the best teams in town, there's one, and right now it's SLU. The basketball team has done just an exceptional job. They're 15-1. They're going to play again tomorrow, and they've been just a really great watch this year. Jacob, how far can they go? They've already been successful about halfway through the season, but there's still a lot left here.
Yeah, the word that comes to my mind the most when thinking about this Billikens team is depth. And it's exactly what they didn't have a year ago. And I think a lot of people looked at SLU last year and they were like, I thought Josh Schertz was supposed to be this guy. Like, they didn't have very many guys on the bench last year. A couple of guys left mid-season. They had some bad injuries, whatever the case may be. And he also got hired late last year because Indiana State made the NIT championship. So he was a late hire at SLU, and then he had to put a roster together really quick. And then some guys get hurt, some guys enter the portal when he gets here, whatever the case may be. This year, when we talked to him before the season and talked to the team, they were all just beaming about the depth that they have. And finally, they can play the Josh Schertz game. They can run up and down. They can shoot threes. They can do all these things. And that is you're seeing the byproduct of that right now with how good this Billikens team is. They're freaky athletic. And I think if you're looking at this Billikens team right now, there's like one name that really comes to mind that's been an absolute difference maker, and it's Kellen Thames, the hometown kid. Well, remember, he didn't play last year because he had cramps? He wasn't able to play the whole season last year. They had to shut him down. They look to have figured it out in the offseason. They figure out the cramps issue, and now he comes back and he's making SportsCenter top 10 plays with dunks and saving balls that are going out of bounds and throwing them between his legs. And not only can he play, he doesn't have to play the whole game because they have depth. And that is vital for this team right now. And that is what you're seeing, is you're seeing a healthy and deep Josh Schertz coach team. And that is what you're seeing at SLU. And I think this team, what they're doing right now, I think the A-10, they could definitely win the A-10 because of how talented they are and how well coached they are. And they got shooters. And I think I was talking to somebody the other day that's a fan of a different team in the country. And they were like, we have athletes. They just brought in the guys that can't play the system the coach is coaching. Well, I think Josh Schertz has athletes, and he also brought in guys that can play the system that Josh Schertz is coaching. So I think if you're a Billikens basketball fan, or you're really just a basketball fan in St. Louis, you're in for a really, really exciting spring. And I don't think there's any telling what this team can do in March.
Billikens host Fordham tomorrow. We'll have that game here on KMOX. 6:45 is when the broadcast starts. Before we let you go, Cardinals have, I don't believe we've gotten the official word yet on the reliever that they've picked up. It's the latest deal they've made. Still, though, waiting on Nolan Arenado and Brendan Donovan, and seeing if deals happen with the two of them. Just how much do you expect to happen here in the next couple of weeks? Because spring training is not that far away, and winter warm-up is this weekend.
I've been looking forward to winter warm up for a really long time, simply because when the off season hit, we're like, we're going to see this happen. We're going to see this happen. What's going to happen here? And there's been interviews with High and Bloom. You look at the, you know, the winter meetings, which you guys were at as well with Matt Pauly. And it's like, you get some answers there, but I think winter warm up is like the date that it's like, okay, like spring training's right around the corner. Like if teams are going to do things, it's either now or you're moving things into spring training, which some teams don't want to do. So I think this weekend, I'm really interested to just get answers from the team, from, you know, talk to Ollie, talk to the, like, just see what, I don't want to use the word vibe, but it's the only thing I think of right now. See what the vibe is around this team and around this organization and what's going to happen. Because you're right, there are some big looming questions around this organization, and spring training is simply just around the corner. You give Nolan Arenado this big standing ovation. Well, I won't say big, but this ovation as he leaves Busch Stadium last year. And it's a well-known fact that he's going to be out of St. Louis. Well, winter warm-up is here, and it's mid to late January, and Nolan Arenado is still on the roster. Also, last year at the trade deadline, John Mozeliak's like, everybody's hitting on our left-handed hitters. Like, everybody wants their left-handed hitters. Well, I don't think that's really changed. And so what's going to happen with some of those guys? I think there's a lot of questions around this team. I don't know if they're going to be answered around before spring training, but to me, winter warm-up is the date that it's like everybody kind of opens their eyes again. It's like, oh, baseball is literally just around the corner. I mean, my God, City SC just started practice yesterday. It's crazy to think that these summer sports are already here. But if you're going to make trades and you're going to do things before the season, you're kind of running out of time.
Jacob Sersosimo, sports reporter for KMOV and Matrix Midwest. As always, we appreciate talking with you. Thank you.
Appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
Jacob Sersosimo with us, who just ran an ultra marathon, which means you run 800 miles.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Equivalent, or the emotional equivalent.